Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
And I love this because it goes so well with what our mission is at Hope City. Our mission is to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and love others as ourselves. You cannot love people well if you don't honor them. You can't love well if you don't honor. And you know, I think sometimes in our culture, we look at honor and it's a lost art. We look at honor and we say, I'll only give honor if somebody else deserves it. I want to tell you something. To honor well, it means that you go above and beyond. It means the word honor literally means giving weight, as in the weight of coins or gold. To evaluate by value weight, which means literally looking at somebody and saying, because you are a child of God, I will honor you. It doesn't matter where you've come from or what you've done. You see, in America, what we do, and in our world, we honor people where we think they're valuable and what they can bring into our lives and what they can do for us. And I'm telling you right now, the kingdom idea is to honor well, no matter what that person has in their life or where they've come from or what they're doing. Everywhere Jesus went, he honored people. Especially people who were lost and who were broken. There are people in this room today, you are lost. And I want you to know Jesus loved you and he honors you. To operate in a culture of honor means that we give weight and we give value to people. To love people, you have to value people. And not only the ones you like. It's easy to value people you like, but what about the ones that drive you crazy? We look down our nose at people who are letting, we consider them less than, and we don't give them honor where honor is due. We need to honor every person no matter where they're at or what's going on in their lives, because that's what Jesus did. People mattered to Jesus, and he valued them. Paul tells us in Romans 12:10, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Genuine affection. How do we get genuine affection? Not, and when I read genuine, the flip side of that is fake. We can love somebody that's easy to love, and we can fake it till we make it, but I'm telling you, God is calling us to love genuinely. Unconditionally, I love that. Paul encourages us to love well and to delight in honoring each other. That means, I guess I have to love them. That doesn't count. We're to delight. I get to love them. Like, I get to be somebody in their life who they're going to know that they're loved. And I get to be a mirror of Jesus because Jesus loved me first. I get to turn around and I get to love others well. That's where genuine love comes. We take pleasure in honoring each other. Throughout Romans 12, we're going to see what it looks like to honor people even when it's difficult. See, here's the thing. To honor well, you got to get out of yourself. We honor ourselves well, but do we honor others well? In our culture, it's all about us. But we got to get outside of ourselves. It's completely opposite. Our culture is completely opposite of what Jesus taught and modeled. It goes along with our mission statement, like I said, to love God and to love people. And we can't just sit around and talk about it. We got to take action. We got to take some action here. We got to start loving the unlovable. We got to start honoring people in our lives even when they drive us crazy. Our challenge is to model honor just like Jesus did. I love, too, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, the famous love chapter. Listen to this. I love it. And this is a great list that we can all put into our lives. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. You want to know what honoring other people is? Listen to this right here. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. You want a definition of honoring other people? Go back to that chapter right there. Loving when it's hard. Loving when people don't deserve it. Loving and honoring people go hand in hand. You cannot honor somebody if you don't love them. Honor only happens when you truly love people that God brings into your life. It only happens when you put yourself aside and you want the best for others in your life. Listen, if you will put yourself aside and love others well, God's going to take care of every need you ever had. He's going to take care of you in a way, because as you honor people, you're doing what Jesus did. And you honor and you love people no matter what that person has done to you, no matter where they're coming from. It's much harder to honor somebody even when you disagree with a person. We're living in a world where there's so much disagreement that we've got to get back to saying, listen, we can come together even though we disagree, and I still love and honor you. That's when honor matters the most, when it's difficult. Can we give others the benefit of the doubt in our lives? We sure want that. Can we give others the benefit of the doubt? I've seen it so many times. The minute people get into conflict with others or they disagree, honor gets thrown out the window. People are quicker to throw each under the bus than extend grace and honor. I can tell you this, we all want honor and we all want the benefit of the doubt, but we've got to start extending that in our lives. That's what loving and honoring goes. And that goes for the leaders in your life. Give the leaders in your life the benefit of the doubt. Extend grace and honor to your leaders. It's a two-way street. How we handle conflict in difficult times is when honor and action really matters. So Jesus modeled what it looked like to honor well. And that's the topic, that's the sermon title today. Let's honor well. Let's put honor into action. Let's honor others more than we honor ourselves. Listen to Matthew 11, 1 through 6. This is where we're going to start in this sermon series. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. So we know that in the previous chapters of Matthew, Jesus was giving the disciples the battle plan. He was laying it out to say, hey, this is what's going to happen. Be aware. Newsflash, we've talked about this a lot. Being a Christian doesn't mean life's going to be easy. In fact, sometimes it gets a lot harder because the enemy knows the potential that you have in your life. And so when it gets hard and when it gets difficult, that's when you've got to decide, where am I going to put my trust? Who am I trusting in? And so they've gotten all these battle instructions to know that this is what God was calling us to do. Don't be surprised when God calls you to do something and it's not easy. So as we read this, we continue. John the Baptist, who was in prison. All right, let's stop. So all the felons in the house, you're in good company because most of the disciples had gone to prison too. All right? That's where John the Baptist was at. He was in prison. All right? So all the felons in the house, all the people that have spent some time in the big house, you're in good company. And we love you. We're so glad you're here, and we honor you today. John the Baptist, who was in prison, and you got to understand what prison looks like to the Romans. This was not Club Med, all right? This was not the prisons that we think of in America. It was underground. Most of the time would have been spent in darkness. There was barely any air to breathe. There was no food. This was a terrible place. And so when you read John the Baptist was in prison, it was the hardest place that any person could ever be in. It was difficult. It was challenging. You got to understand what kind of frame of mind John the Baptist probably was in at this point. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah who we've been expecting? Wait a minute here for just a second. Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. John the Baptist knew the answer to that question. Why would he ask that question? Why would he sit there and say, are you really the one we've been expecting? And why? I tell you, because I think he was in a dark moment. And I think in his heart, he goes, how could I end up in this prison after I followed Jesus? How can difficult and challenging times come? So we send Jesus this question. Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. Honoring? You want to know what honoring looks like? Because it would have been very easy for Jesus to go, what in the world are you even asking me that question for? You know who I am. You know we were born at the same time. You know, but Jesus turned around and with love and honor, he said this. Go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk. Those with leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. That is mind-boggling to me. Jesus turned around, and I can tell you this, I can almost imagine the amount of love that Jesus had at that very moment for John. And guys, here's what I want you to know. No matter what you're walking through, Jesus has that kind of honor and love for you today. No matter what you're experiencing in your life, John the Baptist was in prison. We know. He was in a difficult moment. And so today, here's what we learn. I want to point out three key points from this scripture about how we honor well and how we love well and how we can follow Jesus' model of showing extreme love and honor in difficult moments. Key number one, people who are suffering deserve honor. They don't deserve our judgment. They don't deserve anything other than honor. When you run across a suffering person, they deserve honor. If you're suffering here today, even if it's self-inflicted, you deserve honor. We love you. Don't look at people who are suffering and go, they deserve it. We do that in our mind. You know that? We do that. We look at people who are suffering and go, they deserve it. That is not honor. We show honor when we love them. John the Baptist was suffering. Knowing what we know about that Roman prison, it was probably the darkest moment in his life. Do you know why he was in prison? He was in prison because he declared that Herod's choice to divorce his own wife and marry his brother's wife was not lawful. In retaliation, Herod had him arrested and imprisoned. He was standing up for what he believed. He was not a criminal. He had done nothing wrong other than stand up for what he believes. And I'm sure Herod did everything that he could to make it very uncomfortable for John the Baptist. When we study the commentary on this portion of scripture, Bible scholars feel like John was not questioning Jesus, but more he was questioning that if he had done all he could for the gospel. He was looking at his life and he was saying, God, have I done all that I could do? There was questions in his mind and in his heart. He was imprisoned for his integrity. He was imprisoned for following Jesus. Following Jesus doesn't mean life's going to be easy. So don't be surprised when you find out the difficult things come. The great news about it is, though, when you follow Jesus, you're not doing it alone. He walks you through it. He walks you through it in the darkest, deepest moments of your life, which is exactly where John the Baptist was. He was looking, and I'm sure in his mind, and I can just say, I don't know, this is my own commentary, so you can take it for what it's worth, but I'm sure in his mind he was saying, God, I did everything for you that you asked me to do, and I'm sitting here in prison. Why? And I want you to know something. God is not afraid of your questions. Because that question, the way John sent that question to Jesus, what we see is the response back saying, honor and love. I love you in the midst of the darkness. I love you in the midst of the darkest time of your life. I'm here beside you. Jesus never even visited John in prison. Who knows? Maybe they didn't have visiting hours. I'm not sure. It would have been so easy for him to start to lose heart. Do not lose heart in the darkness. Don't lose heart when everything seems to be falling down around you. Don't lose heart when things don't make sense. If you will listen, Jesus will honor you well. He will speak to you. He will show you love. Because Jesus honored John the Baptist, he answered John's question back with a loving, a kind, and an honoring answer. I want you to keep in mind something. The truth is this, hurt people hurt people. When you run into somebody that's hurting, you honor them by being kind. Look past their questions. Look past their responses to see the true person. Look past what they're coming across at this very moment. Loving and honoring, kind words can be like a healing salve on that person's heart that's suffering. You remember this, please. You are to be a mirror of Jesus. You're a conduit. So as you've experienced his love, what do? You turn around and you pour that back out. And when you honor people and you love people and you put others before you, that's truly what that means. That's what honoring is. What kind of response would you give a person who's hurting and suffering that acted like John if you were in Jesus' shoes, let me say it that way. I'll get it out here, I promise. Key number two, be an encourager. To honor well, you got to encourage well. People don't need to hear always what's wrong. Well, my job is just to be the most, you know, just to be the downer in somebody else's life and tell them the truth. So I'm just going to tell. They already know the truth. They need you to love them. Be an encourager. We know that John was in a very discouraging and disappointing moment in his life. He needed encouragement. In the moments of silence that he faced, probably in the dark, doubt would have easily crept in. John's question was a sign that he needed encouragement. He needed people to encourage him. He'd given so much of his life to prepare the way for Jesus. And remember back, he knew who Jesus was. He was the one that actually baptized Jesus, hence John the Baptist. He baptized people. He knew who Jesus was. He just needed a reminder. He needed a reminder. Jesus was such an encourager. His answer was perfect back to John. Go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see. The lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. John the Baptist, that would have lit him up, because that's what he was all about. All of a sudden, Jesus goes, listen, what you're about, look at, it's happening right now. What you gave was not in vain. You sitting in this prison, it is not in vain. Look at that. That was like speaking John the Baptist's love language. If you listen to Jesus, he'll speak your love language. Jesus always answers people's questions in a way that would encourage their heart and get right to the heart of the matter. If you need an answer today, listen for his still small voice. Because honoring well, and he shows us the model of it, he always speaks the truth in love. And I think that's a big, important key to what we're talking about. Being an encourager sometimes means you do have to speak the truth in love. Don't do it devoid of love. Speaking the truth in love. We all need encouragement, especially in the moments of suffering and difficulties. Don't be like Job's friend who told Job everything that Job already knew. If you ever read the book of Job, if you haven't read it, read it, because that's what not to do with people. Well, I just have to tell people the truth. No, tell them with love first. Honor well. Honoring well means that we honor them even when they're not honoring us. And it's hard to do. But it's where the rubber hits the road. Look at how you honor people. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Now, I read that scripture, and it doesn't say, be patient with only the people you like. Be patient with everyone. Honor them. Love them. Let's look for a way to encourage people no matter how they've treated you or what you're walking through. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. when you go back to work, I'm challenging you, be an encourager. Be an encourager. God has you where he has you to make an impact in your workplace. Go home, go tomorrow to work and be an encourager. Make it a fact that you're going to say, God, I'm going to encourage people around. And you might say, I need encouragement. The Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord. So get with God and hear what he has to say. Or get around. If you need an encourager, come see me today. I'll be glad to encourage you. It's one of my favorite things to do in people's lives is to be an encourager. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. I'm cheering you on. Some people make fun of me because I'm an encourager, and I don't care. I want to encourage people around me. I don't want people to be discouraged after they've talked to me because I've dishonored them. I want to encourage. I want to be an encourager. I want to be the one fighting with you, saying we're going to make it. Many times you have to encourage even when you need encouragement yourself. It wasn't easy. Remember, we look at Jesus and we think, of course he could do this. He was God. But don't forget, he was 100% man and 100% God. So he felt the same feelings that you and I feel. The difference is he didn't sin. But Jesus felt just like what we feel. And so when you look at how to honor people well, and you go, well, of course Jesus did it. He was Jesus. He still had the limitations that we have in our lives. I promise you he got mad. I promise you he got sad. I promise you, he had to work through all the emotions that you, when that question came, it would have been easy in his humanness to say, John, what are you doing? You're asking me this question, you already know. But what I love about Jesus is he never came back that way because he was operating in love. He operated in honor. I want to encourage you. In fact, a sign of spiritual maturity is the fact that you can encourage others even when you need encouragement yourself. Key number three, and I'm going to go a little bit off path, but Jesus in the very last sentence said something that was eye-opening. He ends this portion of scripture with one of the most important truths about following Jesus. In Matthew 11:6, he said, and he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. What in the world does that even mean? Some translations say that don't stumble because of me. The NASB says the one who does not take offense at me. How in the world could somebody stumble? And I'm going to tell you very easily. With questions like, how could a good God allow this bad thing to happen to me? The minute you start allowing those questions to come into your mind and the enemy tries to convince you that God is not good and he doesn't care is the moment that you begin to stumble, especially in difficult times. Well, how could a person take offense? I'm so mad at God. Why would God allow this in my life? Do not go there, because what will happen is your heart will become cold and calloused. Do not believe that the enemy, don't believe the enemy's words. How could a God that loves you so much do something like that? You might be sitting here saying, well, God, what about when God works different than you expect? What about when suffering and difficulty comes into your lives? What about when you allow disappointment and discouragement to overcome your mind? How about when you allow situations to steal your hope? Or get mad at God for what's happening in your life? You might be sitting here today holding on to an offense to God because of a situation in your life, and I'm telling you, you got to let it go. And I'm going to tell you, keep in mind this very truth. Bad things happen on this earth because of sin. That's why we have death. That's why we have disease. That's why we have sickness. That's why we have all of those things that we're talking about. And things don't always make sense and things become difficult. And listen, don't turn away from God because you need him the most in those times. The enemy's trying to convince you. When if you look and you really want to know who's messing with you, it's the enemy. And it's hard to understand sometimes. It's hard to walk through disappointments. It's hard, but don't hold on to an offense to God. He's the one you need the most. And as you begin to stumble, it will choke God's presence out of your life. It'll literally separate you from Jesus, and that's the enemy's goal. Jesus gave us a warning, and he was saying it to John. Don't stumble because I'm working different than you expected. He was saying, when I work different than you expect, don't stumble, don't take offense, don't be mad at God. When my timing takes longer than you think, don't stumble. When doubt and discouragement come flooding into your heart, don't stumble. Don't allow an offense to be built in your heart between you and God and between you and Jesus. Don't stumble when things don't make sense. The bottom line is you can trust him no matter what's happening in your life. Any one of us can stumble. Especially when suffering and difficult times come. Don't stumble. That's what the Bible is saying. Jesus is saying, tap into my love. Tap into my honor. Don't stumble when difficult times come. Don't even entertain questions like, how could a good God allow a bad thing like this to happen? You know the answer. It's the enemy's plan. He's working in your life. So run to God and let him protect you. I will promise you this, the enemy in difficult times and challenges will always be sitting, because he's an accuser, and he'll stick his finger out in God and say, oh, how could God, a good God, do something like this? And the truth is, God didn't do it. And if you'll trust him, and if you'll walk through these moments with him, here's what's going to happen. He's going to take all of those bad things and turn them around for your good. Walk through it. Walk through it with Jesus. I promise you, he'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. If you will turn your heart to him and walk through in these moments, I promise you, you can trust him. And Jesus has the same kind of honor and love for you today that he had for John. Some of the hardest times is when God takes longer than we want him to. I say this all the time, so if you've been around, you know what I say. right? We serve a crockpot God in a microwave world. Trust him in his timing. Here's the thing. When it takes longer than you expect, here's what I want you to know. God is still working behind the scenes. And I'll tell you this, especially when it comes to God's timing, will you just trust him and say, God, whatever time you need to make it right. Because see, he's not going to do it halfway for you. And he's not going to move the process faster than it needs to be because it's going to be perfect. And sometimes that takes time. Jeff, what happens when you build a house too quick? Not good, right? Yeah, falls apart. God takes his time because he wants it to be right. Here's what I also want you to know. In these moments of difficulties and challenges, 1 Peter 5:8 says this, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. And when you stumble, he's right there to take you down. Don't buy into it. If you stumble, the enemy will take you out. He takes people out by convincing people that is not good, that God is not good and he doesn't care. And I've watched people stumble so many times in difficult moments. Remember the enemy's end game. He wants to separate as many people as he can from God. He'll do whatever it takes to do that. Don't give in to him and don't stumble. Don't let offense build in your heart towards God. Don't stumble. In those moments of doubt and difficulties, run to Jesus. I love the scripture where Jesus said, and it shows honor and action. When Jesus said, I'm close to the brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. If you're struggling today, Jesus knows and he loves you. He wants to honor you and love you. Don't stumble in these moments. And I know it's interesting how Jesus ended that, but I think it's such an important warning.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.